Hip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Opel's next bold move has arrived. The all-new Mokka is tugged out and ready for action. To test drive the all-new Mokka, call to Kevin O'Leary Group Clonmel today.
Hello, good evening and welcome to a Bank Holiday Monday Extra Time. You're listening to Ronan Quirk here on Tip FM. We're here until 8 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you. Your text number is 083 311 3311. That number works for WhatsApp as well, messaging 083 311 3311. We're also on the Twitter account of Tip FM Sport, which is at Tip FM Sport, if you prefer that form of communication. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on events over the course of the weekend. We'll have Camogie, discussion with Geraldine Kinnan later in tonight's show. We'll also speak to JJ Kennedy on hurling and the Hurling League and where we're at with that. We'll be hearing from Liam Sheedy and Ken Hogan after the Westmeath game. But I'm delighted, actually, to start tonight's programme by giving you some club results, something I didn't think I'd be doing at this stage in this season, but delighted to tell you that the West Intermediate Hurling Championship semi-final earlier today, Knockavilla Kickhams 216, Galty Rovers 11 points. And in intermediate football in the West, Clonalty 514, Cashel King Cormacs 1-6. Also a result from Junior B football in the West, Aire Óg Anacharty 2-11, Rose Green 1-8. Francis Coughlin, who is the Vice PRO of the West Board, is on the phone. How are you, Francis?
How are you, Ronan?
Good to talk to you, and it's great to talk about club action again. Just to be clear for listeners, this is the remnants of the 2020 competitions.
Yeah, it was decided by the board to finish off as many of the championships as we could remaining from 2020. I suppose it's 8 months ago now since we had any bit of action, so everyone was meant for a few games at this stage.
So one will have to feel for the Junior B footballers after 8 months of inactivity, not necessarily inactivity, but reduced activity. They'll be feeling that tomorrow morning.
Yeah, a lot of lads will be feeling it tomorrow morning.
I know, just a particular shout out to the Junior B lads.
Yeah, look, I suppose the bottom line is it's just great to be back.
Absolutely.
If you're sore in the morning, yeah, it's all part of it, but we didn't think a few months ago where we'd be at this stage.
Yeah, absolutely. Big win for Kickhams though, wasn't it?
It was a good win. It was an even enough first half. The sides were level 1-3-6 at the break. Kickhams were very guilty of hitting a number of wides, as well as I think they had 5 efforts that dropped into the goalie's hands, which probably could have made the first half scoreline a little different. They started better with Paddy Slattery free opening their account, but Galtys had opened up a 3-point lead by the 9th minute. Adam McGrath hit 4 points from freeze. But Brendan Ryan eventually got the game's opening score from playing the 13th minute. And another Paddy Slattery free hit the gap to the minimum just before the water break. But then Galtys were reduced to 14 men. And Eric Rogan received a second yellow. Now, Galtys, in fairness, kept going and they opened up and kept a 3-point advantage until just before the interval. Kickhams got a goal. Owen White had made a superb save in the Galty Rovers goal, but Brendan Ryan's rebound shot went in off a defender and saw the sides level 1-3-6 points at the break. Kickhams started the second half in whirlwind fashion with 3 points from Brendan Ryan, Paddy Slattery and Walter O'Carroll. And this was followed by their second goal when Davy Butler collected possession and ran at the goal before firing to the top corner of the net from around the 14-yard line. And this effectively killed the game. It really went from Galtys as they struggled for scores at this stage. Kickhams had built up a 10-point lead at the water break, 2-12-8 points, and they never really looked back at that stage. They'd be pretty fairly happy with their tally. They 2-13 of their 2-16 coming from play. Now, they did rack up 14 wides as well, but 5 of their 6 starting forward scored from play as well, while Walter O'Carroll actually ended up having to go back a sweeper there in the first half. Galty seemed to be causing a bit of a problem when they were numerically even, I suppose. But the more the game went on, Kickhams just found that space that bit more and really just tagged on the scores and pushed on fairly easy enough in the end.
Yeah, I think 2-13 of the 2-16 coming from play is hugely significant, and I'm sure the backroom team in Kickhams will be particularly delighted with that, Francis. What's the other semi-final?
The other semi-final was actually played last year.
Oh, okay. So you'll forgive me if I can't remember.
No, it's which is just understandable at this stage.
Oh, you're right, Cappa White,
actually beaten Golden Cathedral.
Yeah, that's right.
Kickhams are playing Cappa White in the final this Saturday evening at Sean Tracy Park at 6 p.m.
And can I ask you about patrons? There's probably a demand for people to get in to see the matches. How are you managing that?
We have a ticket system at the moment that's working through the clubs. Each club gets an allocation of tickets. So if you want to go, you have to contact your club then to get a ticket.
So how many do you expect to be in Sean Tracy Park next Saturday evening? Maybe 100 max, is it?
I think that's the figure at the moment.
And so that doesn't include players and mentors. So it's just that's just non-participants.
Yeah, it's just basically spectators. Yeah. It doesn't include media or the clubs or the players involved. Sorry.
Okay, fair enough. And that's great news. Even I know people would wish for more than 100, but it's a West final, and I'm sure that those 100 tickets will be much in demand. In football, Clonalty, big win over Cashel. I think the other semi final in that is between Rockwell and
Golden
Cathedral. That's next Wednesday night, isn't it? This
Wednesday night. Wednesday night in New Inn as well at 8 p.m.
Big win for Clonalty, though.
It's a huge win for them. In fairness to Clonalty, when they do put their minds to it, they are fairly handy at the football, all right.
Absolutely. John Kennedy was a fine footballer in his day.
He was, and Declan Ryan as well.
Yes, of course.
Just to mention there, Ron, on the intermediate final, it will actually be streamed live as well.
Excellent.
We should have details up on our Twitter and Facebook and Instagram accounts there during the week, just with the link to it.
Well done.
So anyone that can't go, the game will be streamed live as well.
There are new county board guidance, or is it rules? I don't know if it's guidance or rules on streaming in terms of commentary, in terms of... you probably have to go to the county board for permission for that, do you?
You do, yeah. There's new guidelines come out. I suppose last year was kind of... It was unforeseen the way things went. So it was probably a big learning curve as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, look, I think that's great that it's been streamed, that game between Cappa White and Kickhams next Saturday night. Good talking to you, Francis. Stay well. We'll touch base occasionally throughout the course of the year.
No problem, Ron.
Take it
Thank
easy.
You.
Great that those games are back on. Congratulations. Kickhams and the win over Galty, Clonalty and the win over Cashel, and indeed in Junior B football, Aeroag had that win over Rose Green. And incidentally, just I'm looking at the the mid boards have an excellent website if you want tickets for the Cal Cup match between Mike Carkey and Lochmore this, I think, Wednesday night. You can buy tickets on the mid-board website. I think there's another match between Clonakenny and Turles Sarsfields that's on Wednesday night. Tickets are available on those. Now, there's obviously limited numbers, and it's difficult to get as many people into these games as we'd want to go, but that's where it's at the moment. So well done to all and getting those up and running in a fairly tight time frame. Let's listen to some audio from Liam Sheedy at this stage in the programme, because Liam Sheedy was speaking to Stephen Gleeson of Tip FM after the win in Cusack Park on yesterday. Significant win, or significant scoreline from a Tipperary point of view, but this is what Sheedy's thoughts were at the final whistle.
Look, you know, I suppose it's mission accomplished. I always find these are tricky assignments. You know, you're coming up to Westmeath, you know, in their home patch, and they would have been disappointed with their performance in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. So fairness, I thought early on there was a good spirit about the Westmeath challenge, and we missed some chances in that first quarter. So the first quarter there wasn't a whole pile in it, but we had a very strong second quarter, and that probably gave us the platform that we needed. And you know, as I said, we created that. I think it could have been 1-15-7 at half time, so we had that cushion going in at half time. And as I said, mission accomplished. You know, as I said, these are tricky assignments. Just I would just say job done.
And like, we kind of look to be thinking, will we go for goals or will we take points? And we hit a few wides then at that point in the first half when it was still alive.
Yeah, look, as I said, it was, these boys need to strike with conviction all the time, because, generally they're good strikers of the ball. We'd see that as one of our strongest points of our game. So, when you're hitting wides, and, that's been probably a feature of our games for the last three games. So that was disappointing overall. But look, as I said, we're still a work in progress. We're 4 weeks out from Championship. It's nice to have gotten the win. And we got a good number of players onto the pitch again today. So that's very, very encouraging from our point of view. And I thought some of the movement of the guys that came off the bench was very, very encouraging. They were showed a great hunger, good appetite for the game. We weren't perfect. We made a few what I would consider poor decisions. Our decision making late on was poor at times, and we need to correct that, because you've got to make the right decision all the time when you've got ball in hand, and we can improve on that. But as I said, we have 4 weeks to get that right.
Morris, the Flynns, Kehoe, they all came on and all had huge parts to play. There's a lot of players putting their hands up for starting Berts now in the Championship.
Yeah, there is, but you know, it's probably great as well. You know, Seamus Callanan got a full game into him today. I think that was hugely beneficial for Seamus. And you know, Brendan hasn't seen a lot of pitch action, so you know, he was back in the pitch as well today. So look, as I said, you know, the thing we know is that it's going to take 20-25 plus to be competitive in this championship, because the matches are going to come fast and tick. So yeah, as I said, it's about building the panel, and lads got a chance today, and some of them took that chance, which is great to see.
Watford next weekend. Now you head down there, and you know, Liam Cahill, a lot of Tip people have seen his teams over the years as well, and it'll be billed, I suppose, as the battle of the two Liams. Like, but for you, is it just a prequel to the championship, or what way will you treat it?
Ah, look, it's just another game for us. I mean, that's the you know, there's five games in this league, and the last one is down against Waterford. It's certainly not the two Leams. It's Tipperary against Waterford, and will always be a spirited battle. And you know, Walsh Park will be a, you know, hopefully another great day like today with weather conditions good, and you'll get a real feel for the summer. So you know, it's all really, really good preparation. So as I said, it's nice to have the win today, and we'll start focusing on that tomorrow.
Very important that injuries are kept at bay as well, I presume, this time of year. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You're trying to get the mix right, and you're trying to get the balance right between freshness and trying to use the fullness of your panel. So there's a lot of balls to juggle in the air, but fairness to the lads, they're hugely committed. We had a really good, strong week's work this week, which is probably the most pleasing aspect of this week. So you know, this is a big work week for us. So we've got that behind us now, and it's about driving on into next week.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Opel's next bold move has arrived. The all-new Mokka is tugged out and ready for action. To test drive the all-new Mokka, call to Kevin O'Leary Group Clonmel today.
Let's reflect a little more on events in Cusick Park yesterday. Ken Hogan was on duty for Tip FM. How are you, Ken?
How are you, Ronan? How are you today?
Mighty. It's a case of mission accomplished, to quote Liam Sheedy. And when you go into a match against perceived minnows, you can only do what you can do.
Ah, exactly. I was one of my earlier games at Tipperary was in 1985, and we came across her against Westmeath and Mullingar. So that memory came back to me when I went into the stadium yesterday. So I suppose it was a no-win situation for Tipperary. You know, you play well, and people are saying that, oh, well, that was expected. And then if you're... But I thought Tip were very confident in the way they went out about their business, very businesslike. The key thing, Roland, I see is that, you know, the team looked very fit, very lean and very fit, and that was a great thing to see yesterday.
And also the accuracy that has been much maligned in the first three matches has been improved upon. Seamus Callanan got 70 minutes into him. Brendan Maher's back on the pitch.
Yeah, Brendan Maher is, you know, absolutely outstanding. And the key thing with Brendan, I suppose, is his versatility. He can play at any place in the back line, and, of course, he can play at midfield as well. So Seamus looked very fit, very sharp, very eager. Obviously things didn't come off for him. I think you know, a few movements that the forwards were making, obviously they were encouraged maybe to try and create goal opportunities rather than take their pints. And I think, you know, Seamus can be satisfied that he got through the 70 minutes. That sharpness and hurling will come for him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Waterford next, I think it's next Sunday afternoon, and there's an opportunity again for players to build on the contribution they made last week, and we're getting close to a championship team, are we?
Getting close, I suppose, in the fact that it's our really last competitive match before championship. Obviously, Waterford will have their eyes on Clare in 2 weeks next Sunday. They play Clare, and Clare and Waterford, you know, again, it's like Cork and Tip, Clare and Waterford. Anything can happen between those two teams, and Clare had an impressive win. So Waterford will probably have more than one eye in the championship come next weekend, and I'm sure Liam Cahill won't probably be playing his full hand, particularly from the point of view of injury so close to a championship. So I think it's going to be a very interesting game again, because both teams now have, you know, pretty strong backup, particularly you know, in 20-25 players. So whoever gets in is still trying to, you know, get that jersey and get hugely involved, you know, and impress the management.
Would you start Paddy Cadell if you were Liam Sheedy?
That's a tough question. I think Paddy Cadell has impressed very well. I think he's going to get another run against Waterford. I think he'll be starting against Waterford because Paddy has, you know, his 20 and 21 medals in his back pocket, and I think he's beginning to establish himself as a top-class county midfielder. But also, of course, he can play in the half-back line, and the game nowadays, you know, you're using your 2022 players. So from that perspective, I think Paddy is definitely in the shake-up.
Yeah, well, because the back line looks a bit settled, Brendan coming in there. But Brendan could also be looking for a midfield berth. I mean, gosh, there's a lot of competition, isn't there?
Well, that's what you want. I mean, that's really what you want. And, you know, one time you explained to a guy that he mightn't be playing at the start, but the biggest thing now is who's playing at the finish, you know, and you know, that those 21 players that Tipperary will be using, you know, they could use in the league, obviously they could use seven subs, so it gives them a chance to use a few extra players. But I think, you know, really against Waterford, he's going to go down with a pretty strong lineup again.
But sure, we can win the league. I mean, if we win and Galway win, I think we have Galway on the head-to-head, so then we go into possibly a league decider at some stage later in the summer against possibly Kilkenny. But if we don't meet Kilkenny in the championship, the league will be shared.
Correct, without a doubt. And I think that's the carrot for Tip next Sunday, going down to Walsh Park. I think they're going down, they'll definitely be going down to win, Liam.
Yeah, I believe so. Can I just ask you about a couple of things? The black card and the penalty, what was your view?
I felt it was a bit harsh. I felt, considering what I've seen in the last few games, Richie English of Limerick has been caught twice, and both times I thought that it looked like a black card and Richie got away with it. But you had a situation where it was Leash, and then it was in that situation where it was Leash, and then obviously yesterday Westmeath, yeah, who are the minnows of the game, and I felt it was a little bit harsh. It was a break for us, you know, and Jason put away with it. But the guy definitely pulled down Jason, you know. It was definitely a professional foul. He you know, he pulled him down because it was a goal scoring opportunity. So I'm sure that's the way the referee looked at it.
Yeah, indeed. Also, you know, we've spent a lot of time on this show talking about interpretation of rules and refereeing. Do you see that kind of working its way out? Maybe the referees are a little less stringent, and maybe the players have got used to the new refereeing of advantage rule, etc.
Yeah, I think come championship, it's easing itself out. You saw Galway and yesterday, of course, with an absolutely fabulous game. But I thought that, you know, Fergal Horgan let the game flow, and I think referees are beginning to understand the advantage. They're beginning to let the game flow, but obviously, as was pointed out on the Sunday, you know, in last night on Sunday Sport, if you pull back or if you pull back with your hand straight away, there's going to be a free given, particularly when it's in the proximity of the referees, you know, vision. Yeah. So from that point of view, you know, referees are running the show. They are, you know, playing by the rules. But I think come championship, it will be a harder physical game, and there'll be more hits coming physically, but in a fair nature with the shoulder and the body.
Just before I let you go, Ken, they don't give out all stars to managers, but if they did, you could make an argument for Darren Gleeson to be in the running for an all star managerial award.
Yeah, and sure. Look, it's the biggest thing I took from that, and I complimented Darren already. Wonderful for Antrim, but the biggest thing I took from that game was, it was only 500 spectators, Ronan. What an atmosphere was created.
Yeah.
And hopefully by the time championship comes, that at least we'll have at least 1,000 people in the stadium. That's all we need, just to create an atmosphere for the players. Because I think we put up with it last year in 2020, which was a bonus team played against. But this year, we hope in the big stadium that we'll see crowds at the matches, and that the players themselves deserve that at least. So from Darren's point of view, you know, wonderful to stay in Division 1 again. But from a spectator point of view, we need to see people watching our games in the coming months.
Good talking to you, my friend. We'll talk again next week.
Great, Ronan. Thank you.
Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Opel's next bold move has arrived. The all-new Mokka is tugged out and ready for action. To test drive the all-new Mokka, call to Kevin O'Leary Group Clonmel today.
Don't forget our text number is 083-311-3311. Got a very interesting text in relation to some players who aren't on the panel, which I'll put to my next guest in just a few moments. JJ Kennedy's on the line. How are you, JJ?
Hi, Ronan.
I think I'd prefer to spend more time looking forward to Waterford than looking back on Westmeath. But if I do look back on Westmeath, it's probably the younger players that we need to perhaps have a conversation about, and also the fact that the bench contributed 1-8.
Yeah, I think that was one of the brighter aspects of it, I suppose. You know, a game like this, you just don't take too much heed of, because it's so lopsided. So you've got to factor that into any assessment or judgment of it. But certainly, the subs that came in late in the game made a significant impact. You know, Jake Morris looked very different to the Jake Morris we saw against Galway in the previous game. Alan Flynn in, and, you know, 2 points, and Mark Keogh, of course, then the goal, and that was all very, very encouraging. You know, those are the guys we need to see showing something so that they can add to the more established players. So from that perspective, it was definitely encouraging yesterday, yeah.
And I put the same question to you as I put to Ken. You know, if you're picking the team for Waterford, would you put Paddy Cadell in it?
He has certainly pushed himself right up the ranking, I think, at this stage. He's right in contention whether you actually go for it. I mean, there are big decisions to be made. You know, do you start Michael Breen? Do you have him as a sub? Paddy Cadell, certainly in the two games we've seen, the last two games, particularly against Galway and yesterday, he has impressed. He's done a lot of hurling, particularly early on in both games. Mm.
It's work. He gets through work, which I think any manager loves to see.
He does. He's very busy around the place, and he's travelling, and he's got great skill and so on. And he's still learning the trade, you know, like all the youngsters. But you can just all you can do is see the progress he's making, and there is obvious progress being made there. So he's one of the bright starts, and could well start against Waterford. I mean, it's a big game against Waterford. I think they really have to go full belt for this one. They don't have league medals. They have a chance now this year to win league medals. It's a sort of lapse with this particular generation of hurlers, and I think they really need to go for it, and every incentive to do that. So I'd expect you'll have a very strong team out next Sunday.
Yes, I saw you were writing about this during the week in relation to gaps in their CVs in relation to the league, with the exception of Shamey, who has one from 2007, I think.
Eight,
my apologies. As I started that sentence, my brain was trying to do the maths on it, but you're right. For clarity, I think for listeners, if we beat Waterford, it's a big if. It's no means a fair foregone conclusion. And even if Galway win their game, we have them on the head-to-head, so we would top 1A. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. It's as clear-cut as that. We just have to win on Sunday and we top the group. Galway have a superior score difference to us, but that won't matter. The score difference only comes in if you have three teams or more on a tie.
Yeah.
So that's not going to happen. So we'll have it's very black and white. We got a win on Sunday, and we come out as group winners. And you've explained the rest. Then Kilkenny have won the other division, so there may or may not be a final. But
if we were to meet Kilkenny in, for argument's sake, an All Ireland semi final, it would also double up as a league final. But look, we'll cross all those bridges when we come to them, and they're nice bridges to think about in the future. If you're Waterford, if you're Liam Cahill, you know, how does he approach it, bearing in mind his team are of championship against Clare? I go so far as to say a resurgent Clare, in 2 weeks after the tip game. So there's always a bit of, you know, not showing your hand, cugger-mugger, you know, not putting out your best team. I don't know how Liam approaches this. Liam Cahill as opposed to Liam Sheedy.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one to see how he does approach it. There's also the issue that he could end up playing Tipperary, of course, in the Munster semi-final as well. You know, based on the springtime and what we've seen so far, they're probably slightly fancied to maybe beat Clare in that particular game. But they're out of the league. They can't win the league, so that incentive is gone from them. But against that, I suppose, there's the tip connection for Liam Cahill himself, and also the issue, I suppose, of playing in Walsh Park, and you like to make your home venue very difficult, a very difficult place for visitors to come to. So I think he has good incentive to give this one a reasonable go. And, of course, from individual players' point of view, there's always places to be won, so they have to keep their end up as well. I think he'll be looking. You know, one of the things about Waterford, I think they're playing well, but they're conceding a lot. And I think that's kind of the area that Cahill has to really look at. And I mean, they conceded a huge score to Galway yesterday. You know, 428 is a huge score. But
and their inside back line against Cork in the park, I think that looked real problematical.
It did. They got really opened apart in that particular one. So that is a worry from his perspective. Now, when you move further out the field, then they're certainly playing very well and they're working great scores themselves. So that they have a lot going for them, and it's going to be a real test. I think this is going to be. I mean, the two big games. You know, the Galway game for Tip was a big one in the league, and now finishing it off, this is another perfect one. And of course, Tip have the advantage that they have that extra time before they play in the championship. So every reason to really go for this one.
One texter says, it was great to see Shamie get the full 70 minutes yesterday, but surely the likes of Jason Ford and Paulie Maher could have been rested. We're four games in. We've seen no sign of the likes of Owen Connolly and Alan Tynan yet. Even the subs brought in are players who we all know what they can do. You'd have to wonder, therefore, if the two players mentioned, Connolly and Tynan, have no plans, are not part of Liam Sheedy's plans at all. It's an interesting point that texter makes.
Yeah, but I mean, this is it's a balancing act, isn't it? Really, I mean, the league is relatively short this year. It's truncated a bit, and you've very little time to actually get your team set and established for the championship. So, on the one hand, you're trying to do that. You need to get game time into the likes of Brendan Maher, and he certainly stepped up yesterday hugely. Get game time into Shamie, to even with the other guys, to bring on the sharpness, and at the same time then try to bring some of the newcomers. I mean, the two people mentioned, they're really it's their first time on the panel.
Yes.
And so they'll obviously have to work their way up the pecking order before they're in line. I mean, I think TJ Connolly, Owen, the next generation.
Yes.
Owen was, he was on the 26 against Galway. I wasn't in Mullingar yesterday. I'm not sure it was the under 26 there, but he certainly was under 26 against Galway. So he's there, and his time will come. He'll get a chance.
Yeah, and Alan was brought in he was brought in on the bench. He didn't make any game time, I think, the previous against Galway as well. After somebody didn't start, and I can't remember the specifics of, but Alan was on the bench for one of the games.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, they're both new. This is their first season on it, and their time will come.
Yeah, indeed. Just quick word on Antrim and what Darren Gleeson has done. I raised this with Ken earlier, but it is an extraordinary story. And you talk about their game against Dublin, which I think is quite pivotal. If you look at the league fixture between Antrim and Dublin, I do think there was a lot of shadow boxing in that. And I wonder whether or not there might be an element of that in Walsh, of what we saw in the Antrim Dublin game in the league. There might be an element of that in Walsh Park next Sunday.
Well, if there is, I hope it's on the Waterford side. I see no reason for Tipperary to do any shadow boxing. I see every reason for them to go for this and go for it as an absolute game that they have to win. There's no other logic to it in my mind. There's no sense in anything else other than going to win this one. There's so much at stake in that sense. And they have everything is lined up. I mean, the whole timeline is perfect for Tipperary to have a crack at this one. Now, whether Waterford play games and are less than enthusiastic about it and so on and ease off a bit, I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll wait and see. But Antrim are certainly one of the stories of the league with their form and what Darren Gleeson has done there. I mean, people might have written off the Clare victory as one of those days, but to do it again or almost do it again against Wexford was really extraordinary. And just the sheer quality of the hurling that they played in that match. I mean, it was no fluke. They just played good quality hurling as well. So it is a big story, and I think that will be a keenly watched game with Dublin in the Leinster Championship.
No doubt about it. A few weeks ago, it was all about referees and interpretation of advantage rules and the number of frees and people describing the games as free-taking competitions. This weekend, there's too many scores in hurling and the slitter is too light. Your view?
It is all a load of absolute rubbish what we're hearing.
Sometimes journalists have to fill space, so bear with. Go on anyway.
I know. We're filling space as well, though, but we're not going to go down that avenue of trying to create problems where none exist.
Exactly.
The whole narrative all along was, there weren't enough goals being scored. There were too many pints being scored. There were too many frees being awarded. And it was ridiculous. I mean, I think I said to you the last day I was on with you that this thing will just pan out and it'll settle down and all of this will be forgotten about. At the weekend we had the three games in... if we take the three issues, but the goals not being scored, too many points being scored and too many frees. The three games in our division at the weekend, you had 13 goals scored in the three games. Okay?
Yeah.
The average number of points among the six teams, for each team, the average number of points was 24, which is quite...
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
The amount of scores that came from frees were tiny. You know, I think there was something like in the Galway one out of 418 was it something like 6 points or something from frees. In the Tipperary one, out of our big score, 427 or whatever it was, there was something like 1-6 came from frees. So all this hubbub about too many frees and all the rest of it, it's all a load of hot air. And we sort of said that a couple of weeks ago. And I think the most sensible comments at the weekend came from Shane O'Neill, where he said, you know, the game is in fine, it's in a fine, healthy state. All of this thing will pan out. It'll wash out, I think was the phrase he used, and it'll settle down. And it's already showing evidence of that. And people just get on. What annoys me, Ronan, is even when I look at the game, the program on television last night, and you know, people like Brendan Cummins are talking as if the advantage rule is gone out of hurling. It's not. The advantage rule is still there. It's still being operated. The minor tweak or adjustment that was made to it was very minor. Slight problems with referees interpreting it. That's kind of ironed out now, and things just go on. The advantage rule is still very much part of it, and people need to get that message. And the cynical foul rule is there. I mean, I'm surprised. I was listening to Ken before me there saying that the you know, the penalty against Westmead was very harsh. That's ridiculous. I mean, it was exactly the type of foul that this law, this rule was brought in for. You know, Jason was through on goal, right in front of goal, straight through, and he's pulled down from behind. It's within the 20-metre line. That's exactly what the rule is brought in for.
Yeah.
And how anybody can argue that that's harsh, it's what it's there for. So people just need to get a little bit real around these. And I'll finish on this point in the freeze, Ronan. If there are too many frees, or if there were too many frees in earlier games, the fault was not with the rule makers or the referees. The fault was with the teams that were fouling. And I think there was clear evidence this weekend just gone that teams are beginning to cop on that we can't be using this spare hand to tug back lads. There's going to be frees. If we foul, there will be frees.
Yeah, and even it's long overdue that that was dealt with, to be honest with you.
It is absolutely long overdue. And this is the other thing that people are forgetting, that after last year's All-Ireland, most of the talk was about the amount of fouls that weren't blown, the amount of fouling that was done that was being ignored. Now, you know, rules are there for a reason, and you want them implemented. And I think there's been a lot of nonsense going on about this. I think it'll settle down. I think the weekend just gone was, you know, a spectacular success for hurling because you had some great contests, you had some great games. And great entertainment. I actually have nothing against high scores either, Ronan. I look back in anguish at back the years with games that were won on score lines of maybe 1-9 to 1-6 or something like that, and they were drab. It's like watching, you know, a scoreless draw in soccer where maybe you have no shot on target.
We've got a whole summer of that ahead of us, so don't draw that appalling vista upon us at this point in the evening. But there is a point, JJ, in relation to, say, Tony Kelly from Clare gets 20 points in a game. I think JBM was the league's top scorer back in the 80s with 20 points over the whole league, and Tony Kelly can achieve that in one game. It does seem like, obviously, the game has changed, but it seems the pace of change has accelerated. If you contrast the high-scoring 2014 All-Ireland drawn final with what we saw yesterday, the game has changed.
Yeah, it has. But games always change. Games evolve and adjust, and rules are adapted, and they change. And most changes usually are for the better, and you get a greater spectacle. I mean, often you sort of compare this to rugby, for example. You know, I remember back in the day when rugby matches were being won on scorelines of, you know, 6-3 maybe, and even internationals maybe being won on 6-3 or 3-0. And then the rugby authorities sort of adapted the rules, changed the emphasis, and now I don't know an awful lot about rugby, but it strikes me that that, you know, the advantage is always with the attacking team. So you have score lines that go up into the 30s and 40s and sometimes even beyond. And it's a greater spectacle. And I think something similar is happening with hurling, that, you know, you have an opening up. Teams are fitter. They're better at what they do. The skill levels have never been higher. And people are able to blow out the lights in particular games. And of course, Tony Kelly, you're talking about a truly exceptional player. I mean, Tony Kelly is among the all-time greats as far as hurlers go.
Well, then, you talk about all-time greats, and I'd include in the all-time greats the likes of the John Doyle, the likes of the Mick Roach, the likes of the Jackie, or the JJ Delaney's. And you know where I'm going with this? I'm talking about the art of defending, which is an important art in the game of hurling.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in jeopardy because of the fact that you have teams shooting lights out?
No, it's not. No, it's not. I think good defending is still needed. Tell Liam Cahill about good defending, and he'll be trying to preach it in Waterford. You still need to be able to defend. You still need to be able to organise your defence. It has changed because everything is so mobile nowadays. It's the old format, you know, of the full back line, the half back line. That's sort of gone. And the old traditional format where fellas like Jimmy Doyle that you mentioned, you know, were absolutely, you know, bruised out of games because of the physical tightness of fellas. Markers who probably wouldn't be able to hit the ball, to drive the ball, you know, the length of themselves if they got it on their own, but were just able to cling to Jimmy Doyle and stop him from hurling. Thankfully, we're kind of gone on from that. I mean, I think I'd love to see the likes of Jimmy Doyle playing in the modern game, because I think he'd be an absolute star.
Yeah,
he'd be brilliant. He'd be up there with
the
greatest.
He'd get space and, he'd be protected.
Absolutely. So it's a better game, but you still have the skill of defending. And, you know, good defenders will, you watch good defenders playing. JJ Delaney, when he was there, was one of the best of them ever. And you watch the way he defends within the modern rules, they can still do it. It's not, defending isn't gone and it's not dead, no more than that silly heading that the Examiner had, you know, who stole our game.
Yeah.
Nobody stole it. It's there, it's thriving, and let's look forward to the championship.
A texter reminds me that the Munster final in 1991, the replay in Thurles, the final score was 419 to 415. They finish up with, leave hurling alone, it's fine.
And I say to that, hear, hear.
Well, Ger, who texted in, JJ Kennedy agrees with you. Before I let you go, JJ, I just run the rule over other counties who will be contesting for Liam McCarthy later in the year. Limerick are obviously in pole position. They had a hiccup against Waterford. They had a hiccup against Galway. But I think what we saw this weekend against Cork shows that if they hit their groove, they are very, very hard to stop.
Yeah, they're still the number one target, I think, for everybody. They're the reigning champions. They've shown it in recent years. I wouldn't actually read too much into the Cork game. I think Cork put out a shadow team in that match, and that does dilute it a small little bit. But nonetheless, I think when championship comes and the ball is thrown in for the championship, Limerick will be the first team that everybody has to beat.
Okay, Galway. I thought there are passages of their play where you have to like Galway as a team, as an outfit. I'm sure people up in Laura are spitting me saying that you'd have to like Galway. But you know the point I'm making, that if you were a betting man and you were trying to be impartial about who you're putting your few euros on on for the Liam McCarthy, Galway would be in that mix.
They not alone have been that mix, they'd be right at the top of it, I think, Ronan. I think they're a team to be very wary of this year. I'm very impressed with Galway, what I've seen so far. Okay, they had a bit of a hiccup, I suppose, against us. Or for whatever reason, that wasn't their best day. But, you know, you look at them yesterday, and the sort of things that impressed you, Canning is back to the Canning of old after all the injuries he suffered in recent years. He's back there ruling the roost, dictating and controlling the play. You know, fellas like Conor Whelan and Brian Concannon and so on, stepping up into leadership roles and really taking it on. And, you know, the physique of these guys, the physique of that team, I think they're formidable. I think they'll really be in the mix. And if you were looking for, you know, a good bet, I think they'd be the ones. I think they're seconds behind Galway at the moment in the betting.
Behind Limerick.
They'd certainly be one.
Yeah.
Behind Limerick, I should say, sorry.
In relation to our near neighbours in Kilkenny, would it be fair to say that Brian Cody doesn't have the embarrassment of riches that he would have had in other parts of his career, but he's certainly getting the most out of what he has?
I think that sums up Kilkenny very well, very accurately. Not the talent of old. Still, you know, ultimately going to be heavily reliant on the likes of TJ Reid. But because they're a Cody team, they just bring that something special and they have belief. And you just saw that at the weekend again, the way they hammer out results. I mean, they're unbeaten, 4 wins on the trot in their division of the league. They're going to be there. Do they have enough to win out the All-Ireland? You could question that. But certainly anybody that would take Kilkenny for granted would be really on a loser.
So if you're thinking about the top four, ourselves included in the top four, those other three are reasonable. And that then leads to the question of Cork, Waterford, who I not for a moment are suggesting are also Rans, but on the base of what we've seen so far, perhaps have a bit of ground to gain or perhaps the most improvement to be done before championship is thrown in.
I'd agree. I think you're talking about an order at the moment of as you say, Limerick, Galway, ourselves, Kilkenny. Those would be the top four.
Yeah.
And the others then, if they get form and get a run, Cork have shown signs of it the weekend. Again, I'm kind of dismiss the weekend because I don't think their attitude was great and their line-out wasn't great for that. But if they get things right and get the type of game they're trying to play, if they get that working, they could be dangerous. Waterford, I mean, Liam Cahill will have Waterford buzzing. There's no doubt about that. You look at the quality of the stuff they're doing. If they can just tidy up in defence, they'll be very awkward. And we could be meeting them. Clare on a little bit of a mini-revival at this stage. After all, the agony and the angst that they've gone through internally and all of that. Some signs at the weekend. They're getting players back from injury. Good result at the weekend. And you wouldn't want to take things for granted from them either. But still, difficult to see those teams actually winning out the All-Ireland.
Yeah, no, it's great that we're having these conversations at this stage. We'll know a lot more come Monday night of next week. JJ, as always, my thanks for your contributions. Many thanks.
Thanks, Ronan.
Thanks indeed. JJ Kennedy, always cerebral and gives us great insights into hurling and where it's at the moment. Our text number is 083-311-3311. One texter says that Tony Kelly is the best Clare hurler ever. I think Shawnee McMahon is the best Clare hurler I've ever seen. Now, there's, in my lifetime anyway, there's probably great hurlers going back over the years, but maybe it's just because I like the art of defending. But for me, I think Shawnee McMahon was just an outstanding centre-back, one of the best of his generation, certainly the best centre-back of the 90s, I would suggest. But I'm open to correction on that. 083-311-3311 is our number. I'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Geraldine Canaan for a word on Camogie. Geraldine, how are you?
How you doing, Ronan?
I'm sensational, but I want to know about Tip Kilkenny next weekend. But we have to talk about Tip getting over Offaly in the quarterfinal over this weekend.
Yeah, very impressive win. They ran out 4-17 to 13-point winners. I suppose they looked the better team right from the start. Once Cota Van scored a goal right before first half water break, you know, they never looked back. And they outscored Offaly in the second half, 296 points, and that was despite being down to 14 players for most of that second half. Roisin Howard picked up two yellow cards in quick succession early in the second half. So, you know, they were just a stronger team all over, and some very impressive performances. And you can see real competition for places. You know, Grace O'Brien didn't get a run against Waterford. She started against Offaly, finished with 2-4 from play. You know, really, you know, putting her hand up, looking to get a starting jersey for the next day again. You know, Miriam Campy came on at half-time. Really impressed, scored a point, won a penalty, and you know, they're just all of a sudden there seems to be, you know, real competition for places, which I suppose is what Bill wants.
Of course it is, but there's a sense I get from watching the Waterford game, and I didn't see the Offaly game, that the girls have dusted themselves down after the disappointment of the Cork game, and so they're well primed coming into next weekend.
Yeah, it definitely, I would agree with that, and you know, the matches have just come right for them and they've improved, and you know, there've been different injuries and different things, but you know, I think against Kilkenny next weekend, they should have a full pick of players, and you know, and like you said, they have two good wins under the belt, and the Cork game will be long forgotten, you know.
Yeah, and now this is a doubleheader in Nolan Park next Sunday, I think. I think 1 o'clock is the throw-in time for Tip Kilkenny. And I get the sense that this is a very important game for Bill, because if he got to a league final after the initial disappointment of Cork, I think he'd take that.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think, you know, there's two national titles to be won every year. And I think, you know, as a county, we should really go for the league and try and win it. And I can know you want to be trying players and giving everyone a run, but I think when you get to a league semi-final, You know, you're an hour away from a final for contesting the national title, and I think they'll go all out to try and beat Kilkenny, obviously, and they'll look to put out their strongest team as well. It's going to be a huge step up from Offaly, but you know, I was happy with the draw. You know, I think Cork are a bit of our bogey team. We seem to have met them a lot in league and championship the last few years and come out the bad, the wrong side results. So we haven't played Kilkenny too often, and you know, obviously they're All-Ireland champions. The only thing is, I suppose they probably got a bit of a shock this weekend. Limerick ran them close, and he won by 3 points. So I expect a big bounce back from them, I'm sure. They got a bit of a grilling after that, and you know, they'll be at their very best. But you know, I think Tipperary really need to stand up now and compete and show everyone what they're capable of.
Well, we've been talking about needing to break through the glass ceiling of being perennial semi-finalists and not being finalists, and that's not how those girls want to be known.
Exactly, yeah. And look, I suppose in the beginning they had to kind of show everyone that they're at the top of the chasing pack, and I think they definitely did. And beating Offaly by that score, you know, Kilkenny had played them a few weeks ago, and I think they scored something like 4.22 to 8 points, so similar scoreline again. So, I mean, that's no disrespect to Offaly, but that's the kind of winning margin you need over those teams if you want to have compete with the Kilkennys and the Corks and the Galway. So, look, fingers crossed that, you know, maybe Sunday will be our day that we finally, you know, take a real scalp from the top table and get back to a league final. You know, it's disappointing we got there last year, and obviously the game was postponed. So, you know, and there's Croke Park there as well. You know, a lot of these girls are playing for years and have won very little or nothing with Tip. And to even just get an opportunity to play in Croke Park would be absolutely massive. Like, you know, it's a huge prize on offer.
Yeah, I suppose I'm so used, you know, when you were playing, Geraldine, you know, Croke Park was on your radar every year, you know, but I never really thought that true in the way you've just articulated the fact that a lot of those girls haven't had the big day in Croke Park.
No, they wouldn't, because, like, you know, for years, only the All-Ireland final would ever be in Croke Park, and I suppose that, you know, Tip hasn't been back there since 2006, so maybe Mary Ryan is the only one that would have talked out there. And other than that, now, just the last few years, the league final has been there, so it's due to be played. And that was, you know, like that, you know, the disappointment of the league final last year. I remember speaking to one of the girls, they were gutted because they were like, you know, it was going to be Croke Park. That was kind of...
That's why you play the game. Yeah, that's why you play.
Yeah, I suppose that hit me then as well. God, yeah, sure, that's, you know, huge not to lose out on that. So that's definitely another carrot for them, you know, on Sunday. But look, definitely won't be looking past Kilkenny. It's a huge task. They're All-Ireland champions for a reason, and like I said, I think they got a bit of a shock at the weekend, and I'll expect them to be, you know, at their very best on Sunday.
Look forward to talking to you next Monday night with good news, hopefully, Ger. Thanks for that.
Please, God. Thanks a lot.
That's Geraldine Canaan on Camogie. Wish the girls well. Let's stay with Lady Sport, and Sam Lambert's on the phone. How are you, Sam?
Hi, Ronan. How are you?
Good, thank you. You look back on the Division 1A campaign for the Tip Ladies, and it has been disappointing with absentees and all the rest. But then when Ashley Maloney goes off injured against the All-Ireland champions, you know, you just wonder what else. Are we using up all our bad luck in the league? Like, did somebody run over a black cat or something?
I know, it was a very misfortunate. I suppose then Marcy got injured first with her ankle, and then for Maloney to go down then was another devastation for the team. But look, I actually think that they really performed in the first half, and their defensive structure was absolutely super. So that's really kind of a positive that they can take from it, that they really did continue, they didn't drop the heads, which could easily happen, especially when you have such a massive leader in Ashley Maloney getting taken off, and, you know, a player that everyone looks to nearly for leadership and guidance. But they really kind of tried to hold themselves together, and they held Dublin for quite a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that was always what we were going to see, an attempt at holding Dublin. But it does then bring the question of Westmeath, and that becomes a really pivotal game, because if we want to improve as a bunch of players and as a county, we need to stay for as long as we can in Division 1, and we're playing Westmeath, I think, next weekend, date and time to be determined. Talk to me about that. Talk to me about Westmeath and the challenge that will bring.
Yeah, Ronan, look, as you said, it's so important for Tipperary Ladies football to stay up in Division 1. You're up there playing against the best in the country, and that's where you're going to develop, and that's where you're going to progress. So anything but staying up there would be detrimental, I think, and it's not easy to get up there, and I suppose it's not easy to stay up there either. Like, but Division 2 is very, very competitive. You've the likes of Kerry and
Armagh. I didn't know that Kerry were in Division 2 until I looked at the Division 2 semi-final lineup earlier on.
Yeah, it's extremely... so competitive as well. So that's what I'm saying. Like, Division One is important to stay in, and the girls have a big game against them there, against Westmeath, and at the weekend.
Would you guard both teams? They've comparable form coming into this, but we don't really have a history with Westmeath, do we?
No, not particularly. I suppose they were playing intermediate there last year. They were in the
All-Ireland final. All right.
They lost to Meath.
But their trajectory, therefore, is similar to ours. Would that be fair?
Yes, yeah. We played them in the league all right last year and the year before, and we bet them both times. But hopefully, third time looking, we'll beat them again. But they've quite a few good players like ourselves, and I'm sure that we'll cope with them quite well, and we can drive on and keep standards up and stay up in Division One.
Okay.
They'll be a very well structured team, I suppose, being in the All Ireland final. Like, they have a system in play, like, you know, after being under the same management of that last number of years. So just break down their structure, I suppose, and if the Chip girls can bring the same heart and determination and work rate that he did on Sunday against the Dubs, or Saturday against the Dubs, well, I think they'll take a fair beating.
Good talking to you, Sam. Stay well.
Thanks, Ronan. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. We'll talk next weekend. Next week, indeed. And we did inquire as to any update on the injury to Aisling Maloney before we came on air, and there is no injury update on Aisling. We wish her well and get her back on the field of play as soon as, because she really, you know, great leader, I think, is what Sam reiterated many times in that piece. Just a quick update on Munster Rugby, which I just noticed that there was an accident over the weekend involving some players. Mike Haley, CJ Stander, Damien De Alliand and RG Simon required treatment for burns following a fire pit accident at the weekend. So two of them, De Alliand and Simon, had substantial burns to their legs, hand and face. They will not take part in respective training and rehabilitation programmes. Are now necessary, and they need to see a specialist later in the week. Well, we wish them two lads well, and I'm glad that CJ and Mike Haley were not badly affected. They were expected to return to training. A fire pit accident, that's not something you normally associate as a rugby related injury. 083 311 3311. Before we finish tonight, let's have a quick look ahead to a really important game in Longford next weekend for our footballers. Martin Quinlivan's on the line. Good evening to you, Martin.
Evening, Ronan. How are you?
A texter says to me, Tipperary should take a bit of confidence next weekend against Longford from the fact that Longford have the worst record in the group. They've scored the least and conceded the most in their three games. That comes in from somebody also called Martin, but not you.
Yeah, different group though, Ronan. Like, they're in with Derry, Ulster champions Cavan and Fermanagh. Cavan finished third, so, you know, it's quite a... Probably the stronger half of the Division 3 groups, to be crude. Yeah. So we know more after Sunday.
How important is this game, because of the fact it's ginormous, really? Every time I think about it, I think it's almost like an All-Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine, you know, as I think David Power's a 3-year term going into next year and trying to, you know, coax fellas back, because, to be honest, the whole Munster final win last year, it kind of, because, you know, it was like almost up at Christmas. Certainly, you played in All-Ireland semi-final a couple of weeks before Christmas. Then you're into a complete lockdown. They've never really... So I don't think it's really sunk in what they achieved last year. And maybe they'll do it when they stop playing this year, be it, you know, after they go out of this year's championship. They'll get a chance to reflect. But I think, you know, last year, they were kind of never sure really where this year was starting. So they could never really kind of relax fully. So, yeah, it's massive. And you know, look, I think we said it last week, Ronan. If we get through next Sunday or stay in Division 3, then over the 2 years of COVID, the last 2 years, which hopefully is all it'll be, we won't have regressed. In fact, we'd be in a positive situation, because, of course, we'd have won a Munster title.
Yeah.
Whereas if we end up in Division 4, it kind of does undo that progress, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that important. There's no point hiding away from it. So as big a pressure game as we've had, I think we actually won promotion back in 2000, and I may be wrong now, 2009, 2010, in Pierce Park in Longford. Sean Carey fisted a pint.
Yes, I do. Remember, well, in fairness, I think we'd already secured promotion. That was the Division 3 final.
May well have been. May
against
well have been,
Down.
Or whatever. But was it Down or Derry? It was an extra time. Down, actually.
It was Down,
an extra time, anyway. And that put us up into Division 2. Correct. And we've had a couple of pressure games since, but probably none as big as this one. So everything's on the line. But look, the team is good enough. It is talented enough. It just needs to perform and probably needs to stop making unforced errors. And I think if we do that, minimise those, then I think probably next Sunday the team that makes the least effort, least errors will probably be successful, because both teams are under enormous pressure.
Other than a Tipperary win, what else would you like to see, relatively briefly?
I think just, well, obviously, with a view to the championship and 3 weeks later, you'd like to see pretty much close to a full-strength team, you know, and they get minutes on the field. So I think that's important. And I think just a style of play would be nice. It will be difficult in a pressure situation, but still doesn't, you know, you still need to go out to try and do it. Be nice to see it, nice to see it happening. And I think, look, at the end of the day, Ronan, the only thing that matters next Sunday is getting a win. How you do it, you know, we can talk about that over the next few weeks. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's hard to argue that if you're not capable of beating Limerick, Offaly and, you know, Longford, then unfortunately, you probably are a Division 4 team. And that's, you know, there's no hiding place from that. We just have to accept it. But hopefully the guys will do the job next Sunday and we won't have to be worried about it.
Many thanks for joining us, Martin. We'll talk next Monday night. Thank you.
Cheers, Ronan.
Take care. That's Martin Quinlivan finishing up our Bank Holiday Monday programme on Extra Time. It's a busy, busy weekend next weekend for Tip FM, because we're going to have obviously Tip Waterford in Walsh Park. We've Tip Longford in Pierce Park. We've the ladies, the Camogie on Sunday as well in Nolan Park. And we've the game against Westmeath ladies footballers. That's all we've time for. Ian O'Connor produced. We have a bumper show next Monday night for you, I can tell you that. Good night and good luck.